God, we come before you because we want to hear from you. We thank you for Pastor Willie being here and for the ways you've used him in many spots all over Africa and even in other spots of our world. We pray, Lord, that you would speak through him this morning and that you would cause us, Lord, to have an encounter with you, an upper room experience with you, an encounter with your manifest presence. Holy Spirit, come in power now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, and one more thing you ought to tell them is that how your ministry has Norwegian roots.
I greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. I am so happy to be here. At this time, I have to apologize for my weak English. As I told you on Thursday, my English is weak, but I hope next time when I will be here, I will be able to speak fluently and even preach fluently in English. I master French, Swahili, Hausa, Zarma, Bangubangu, Lingala, all those languages, but the one I am struggling with is English. So please be patient with me. Just catch what God is willing to tell you this morning. As Pastor Joel told you, I am from the Free Pentecostal Church established in the Democratic Republic of Congo by missionaries from Norway. In 1921, they came to the Democratic Republic of Congo and they established a church. My church is from the Pentecostal Foreign Mission. Pentecostal Foreign Mission of Norway. It's called the PYM. They say PYM. Maybe I can try to speak it in Norwegian, Pinse Venenes Itremission. Yeah. Okay. I am one of the fruit of that mission, and since 1921, Norwegians are working with us in DRC, and they sent me my local church. My national church in DRC sent me to Niger as a missionary 19 years ago. And now I am overseeing all the campuses of the College of Prayer in Africa, and God is using me as he wants. I have told you about the College of Prayer on Thursday. If you were not there, I am sorry. But I can find another time to tell you more about that. This morning I would like to preach the word of God in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. That is the passage I would like to preach about. Genesis 12. Genesis, yes. French, we say Genesis. Swahili, it's Mwanzo. Genesis 12, 1, 2, 3. And Jehovah said to Abraham, go away from your land and from your father's house into the land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a source of blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and all the families of the earth will be blessed in you. Yeah, and when I read this passage, I was amazed, and I took enough time to think about how God called Abraham to serve him. We are all Abraham descendants, and we have received the same calling from God, and we are concerned by all these promises. These promises are so interesting that if one understands them, he can stay proud of being Christian. And the couple of verses that we read contains some principles that can inspire our Christian life. I am not sure that my English is clear. Do you hear what I'm saying? Thank you. The first principle is our calling locks up blessings and assignments. Our calling contains both blessings and assignments. And see what is written in the three verses. Jehovah said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. That is a promise. I will bless you. That is a promise. Who wants to be blessed here? Okay. I will bless you. That is a promise. I will make your name great. Who wants his name to be made great here? I think everybody, even me. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all the families of the earth will be blessed in you. So we see the blessings, and God, among those blessings, he introduced an assignment. You will be a source of blessings. This is an assignment. I will make your name great is a promise. I will bless you, it is a promise. I will make your name great, it is a promise. But you will be a source of blessing, this is an assignment. And he ends by an assignment. All the families of the earth will be blessed in you. That means you have an assignment, and if you are a source of blessings, you are the place where the nations will come and pull blessings. You see how God binds blessings and assignment together. And somehow, our attitude towards them reflects our identity as Son of God. Unfortunately, sometimes people of God separate the two things. They enjoy blessings, and they push the assignment behind. Thank you, God, for your blessings. But my assignment, I will do it when my kids will grow up. This is bad. I will do my assignment when my kids will grow up, or when I will get in such situation or in such situation. No. God binds blessings and assignment together. And we must consider them and handle them together. This is what God is calling us to do. Remember that God does not bless his children at random. He always blesses them for a purpose. If we receive God's blessing, God has a purpose in blessing us. And we have to be careful when we get blessed by God. We have to be very careful and seek to understand which is the assignment that comes with the blessing together. And in the case of Abraham, and in our case as a descendant of Abraham, the assignment is you will be a blessing for the nation. You will be a source of blessings. It means a place where people draw blessings. The nations will draw blessings from you. And the second principle I have drawn from this passage is when God decides to bless someone, he does not ask anyone for advice. He just blesses. He doesn't need the advice from someone else. No. He decides to appoint you as a prime minister. Today, you will be a prime minister. He decides to appoint you as a man of respect in your area. You will be a man of respect. The question I often ask myself is this one. Why only Abraham and not someone else in Chaldea? What did Abraham do to deserve this favor from God? What did he do? Can we say that God is unfair? No. But God's strategy is always to use someone for someone else. This is the strategy of God. He uses you for someone else. And this is Jesus' way. He calls you. And behind the calling addressed to you, the nations are hidden there. As he usually see all of us through Jesus, in the same way, he sees nations through us. So God is very, very intelligent. You first, and through you, someone else. There were many people in Jerusalem when he decided to train a limited number of 12 disciples. Many people. But he decided to train 12 disciples. And the number went increasingly from 12 to 70, from 70 to 120, from 120 to 3,000, from 3,000 to 5,000, and from 5,000 to countless. We couldn't count. You and me, we have been added to that number. Jesus just blessed and gave the assignment. Do you think of your assignment when you enjoy blessings? When God bless you, do you think which assignment is there? Which assignment is accompanied by the blessings you receive from God? What seems to be odd for me is the fact that Jesus is able to bless the nations without you. I told you this on Thursday. He is able. And I promised you that I will give you some testimonies to show you that it's just a privilege and a honor that God decided to make a partnership with you for nation's salvation. It's a privilege. But he is able, he is capable to save without you and me. I will avoid to cite some names here, but I will give you some testimonies. I have heard about one man from Pakistan who met the Lord Jesus without anybody to preach him. Jesus revealed himself to him in the dreams. He went to Mecca for pilgrimage, and he set his tent. He slept in the tent. During the night, Jesus revealed to him and he said, "Man, I am Jesus who was crucified because of your sins. I come here to tell you that you are in the wrong place. You have to leave this place and go back. You will be my servant." And the man stood up. Wow. What happened? And he went to tell the news to his brother and sister who traveled with him in Mecca. And those people told him that, "Oh, you ate too much. Now you have a bad dream. Which Jesus are you talking about? Go and sleep." He went back. He tried to sleep. Jesus came again. "Man, I come here to tell you that you are in the wrong place. You have to go back to your city. I am Jesus who was crucified because of your sins, and I want you to be my servant. Leave and go." He went again to tell to his friends. His friends took the Quran and began to pray for him. And Jesus came again to him. He said, "Man, you are in the wrong place. All those prayers are not prayers. They are kidding. Leave and go to serve me." And the man ran. He went to his car. And when he went to his car, he found Jesus at the door of his car. And Jesus opened the door of the car. He touched his hand and he put him in the car. And he said, "Go, from now on, I have selected you, I have appointed you as my servant." And he got into his car and he slept. People began to look for him. And they went to the car, they found the man sleeping in his car. They touched him, he said, "I met somebody whose name is Jesus. He told me that I am in a wrong place. I have to go back and be his servant." Until now, that man from Pakistan is serving the Lord Jesus. Amen. So you didn't preach him. I didn't preach him. Nobody preached him. But Jesus himself revealed to him. So even if you can, you don't go. You refuse to go. Jesus himself is able to go and save. But if he is asking us to be his partners, we are lucky. We are lucky, and it's really a privilege. One more testament concerns one member of my church who is now a pastor. He was a Muslim. And his father used to be a big man to the national media in Niger. Always when he goes to his workplace, he passed before our church. And one day, in the dream, he saw himself on his motorbike. And when he arrived at the church, he saw somebody on the road and he stopped him. He said, "Man, this is the best way you must worship. This is the best way you must worship." It was a Saturday night. And he told him that this is the best way you must worship. And if you refuse to worship my name, you will die. And He woke up. He couldn't understand. He slept one more time, and Jesus came again. He told him the same thing. Early morning on Sunday, that man was the first to come to the church. We arrived and we met him there. I thought, as his father was a national journalist, he just came to get some news and bring them to his father so that he can put on the national TV. I was a little bit afraid. I was discussing with him, and he said, "Okay, I come to worship with you today." And we entered, I preached the gospel, and after that he came to me and he told me the story, the dream he got during the night. And I said, "Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." I lay hand on him, I prayed for him, and I led him to Jesus. Today, he is a pastor in my congregation. This one I cannot be afraid to tell his name. His name is Jibril Mohammedin. You know, Jibril is the name of one of angels in Swahili and Hausa. Gabriel. Today he is a pastor and he is involved in the College of Prayer. Nobody preached him. Jesus himself revealed to him. So Jesus needs you, not because he's not able to bless the nations, but because he loves you. Because of Jesus' love, we all have to be involved in the kingdom advancement. I heard that you will have a fundraising ceremony this evening. That is great. You raise funds. Maybe you will not travel, but those who will travel with you because you allowed them to travel. And if you join to those who are able to go, when you are not ready to go, you are going with them and you are fulfilling your assignment. We have to cease to just enjoy the blessings from God without seeing our assignment. The blessings and the assignment are bound together. We have to see them together if we want God to continually bless us. The last testimony for this time, I have too many testimonies. I can tell you some of them maybe this evening. It's a testimony of the wizard. Do you know a word wizard in English? Wizard. Yeah. Wizard. Yeah. It's a kind of witchcraft. Magic. Something like magic. Wizard. Wizard, you say? Thank you. My English. This man used to come to church not because he was he has given his life to Jesus, but just because he wanted to disturb people of God. All of them, always he was coming and he sit among Christians. One day he decided to go during the night and witch one of the elders of the church. And when he went there, he arrived, closed the door, and somebody slapped him to the right eye. And the right eye couldn't see. He ran back to his home. From that day, that right eye couldn't see. And after 2 weeks, Jesus came to him and he said, "You have to go and see my servant and confess what you have decided to do. If you don't do that, your eye will never see." And he went, he saw the servant of God. He told him all that he planned to do. And the servant of God told him that, "Okay, I forgive you. I will just pray for you and lead you to Jesus so that you can get blessing." And he decided to receive Jesus as his senior, as his Lord. Nobody preached him, but he met Jesus in his witchcraft. Today, he is a Christian and he is serving God. All these people, I am telling you, if you come to Africa, I am able to point each one of them so that you can hear yourself the testimony from their own mouths. All these testimonies, I give them to you just to tell you that we are partners of Jesus. We have to understand the sense of our calling. God has called us, and he has given us an assignment. Enjoying those blessings and forgetting the assignment is a bad manner of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So I came here to remind you your assignment, and I thank God because you are doing it. But if you are not committed, if you are not engaged with others, if you are not, maybe you are not doing as you should do, God wants you to do in the best way from now on. Because that is why he called you and he gave you the assignment. He's seeing the nations through you, as he's seeing you through Jesus. And if you don't see the nations, you don't make God's joy. God wants you to see the nations. Okay, I am blessed. What can I do for the nations now? As an African leader, you know yourself that the church in Africa is 1,000 miles wide and 1 inch deep. We need to revive those churches. And when I speak about the revival, I don't speak about speaking in tongues or what people think as revival now. I am speaking about getting people work in the kingdom of God. That is a revival. If somebody succeeds to walk in the kingdom of God, he masters the kingdom principles. He understands his calling. He understands his assignment. This one is revived. You can find in Africa today a church of 1,000 members who can never send a missionary outside. This is unbelievable. They don't understand their assignment. They don't understand the sense of their calling. So come and partner with us in Africa so that we can revive African churches and get the people involved in the advancement of God's kingdom. May God bless you.